Good, good. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Luca is finishing a call.
Okay. So tell me about your babies.
Well, we are still working in getting the new situation. But it's good. She's good. She's sleeping all night long. So that's very, very good. She only wakes up to eat and then right away she goes to sleep again.
Great.
The bad side is that she's awake the whole day. So when I get home, my wife is desperate because she only sleeps 5 minutes, 10 minutes maximum. So she's not able to eat, to organize anything. So she's very tired during the day. But at least we can sleep. So.
Right. That's a miracle.
Yeah, and we know that can change in 1 minute. So she can start waking up in the middle of the night. But we are being very lucky right now.
Yeah,
you're
very lucky.
It's been a great experience. I never had a contact with these babies or kids. And it's been a challenge.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're a handful. Changes your life.
Yeah, totally, totally. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we tried to go to a restaurant on a Sunday, and it was a disaster. We ended going back home because it was not a space for the car seats. It was only a space for older than 21, so we cannot go with the baby, and then we cannot go to the bar. We have to go in a table. There's no table, so. And then we got mad and we ended up going back home. So, just getting to it. So.
I think that could have been a good sitcom. It could have been a good TV show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll write that up. Submit Hello? It as a TV show.
Hello. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning, Luca.
How are you? Sorry for reinforming today for you today.
No, that's okay. I got a baby report from Juan Carlos.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
excellent.
Baby sleeping through the night. That's a miracle.
Yes, it is. We'll see how long it will stay like that.
Yeah, no. Maybe forever. We're in Nashville on baby duty here, so we've got a 4-year-old here, so we're.
Oh, wow! Grandson.
A granddaughter. Yeah.
Granddaughter. Oh, wow! Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Juliet. Juliet.
Oh, that's a lovely name.
Thank you. Yeah, she's very special. Oh, they all are, but
yeah, they are. I guess. Yeah, and being grandpa, it's special. I guess, right? You are in a different part of this life cycle, so you get to enjoy them very differently. I see this with my mother and mother-in-law. Completely.
Yeah, it's we read and tell stories and make up stories, and it's just wonderful. We have a great time.
Yeah, and you love to spoil them.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. You know, I laugh because I have visits from family, and that's usually, you know, since they live in Argentina, they don't come very often. They come once or twice a year. So when they do, they visit here for a couple of weeks. Usually could be a month or a little bit more, a little bit less. But during that time, they treat the children the same way as they would do for one single day or one weekend. So it's like I'm always, trying to explain to them that it's okay, you know, to be after them, to take care, to give them everything you want to. But then if you do that day after day during a long time, it's like you are actually spoiling them.
Yeah.
It's an echo of everything, yeah?
I know.
So I say, don't eat more than 3 chocolate cookies, and then she's like behind me giving the 4th and the 5th cookie, and what can I say?
I know. We try to be good, though. We really listen to
you. Try to be safe. Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah, our daughter-in-law is really, my daughter is very tough, you know. And she's very strict, and I obey. I'm like one of her children. I listen, you know.
Okay, excellent.
All right, so how was your week, and what's on your mind this week?
Oh, week is getting better. Yesterday, you know, for Argentina, soccer is a huge passion. Yeah, so yesterday our team played against Nigeria, and luckily we played well, and we won 2-1. It was an emotionally roller coaster match, and we were very lucky because we scored a goal in the last 4 minutes, 3 minutes, and that was the goal that gave us the victory after being 1-1, you know. So it was crazy. It was great. Everybody's in a good mood, and you know, looking forward. We play on Sunday against France.
Saturday, Luca.
Not Sunday, sorry. Yeah. Thank you, Pablo, for correcting me. Yes, Saturday. Yeah, Saturday morning. That's about the week so far. Everybody's watching the games. So work is secondary on this day. It's not much. Everybody, you know, the focus is everywhere. That's basically
about
the week. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's like that. Hey, I can't admit it. What can I say?
What's funny, you know, you call everybody, you just talk about the game, right?
That's a topic to talk about. Everybody is talking about it. Yeah.
That's great.
That's
fun.
Yeah. And then about the chapter of this week, I find it very interesting, especially one subject where you label it key to growing consistently. Okay, and actually was very, when I read this, it was very, very interesting because the other day I went to lunch with a very close friend. She's also a banker, a broker in West Fargo, and we know from many years. Actually, he was my boss when I started in this industry, okay? You know, we were having those relaxed conversations about work and about how we manage stress, markets, and those things that hold us from growing, you know, and our own fears and stuff like that. So I highlighted on the paragraph where you say we have found that one of the reasons advisors cannot grow is failure to accept emotional challenges. We don't like confrontation. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be turned down, and we don't like rejection. Touché. It's exactly what the way I see it. I don't know. Yeah, probably should be reading Play to Win or asking you for advice on that subject. And going back to the conversation, we both of us ended up saying probably we should have a session with a psychologist, you know, in order to have a conversation about that, how to manage those things.
Well, one of the ways to do it is to, you know, examine what it is that you fear,
mm-hmm.
and look at and what is the worst thing that can happen if, in fact, we do it. What's the worst outcome that we can have?
Yeah.
Most of the time, we never do that. We just fear it. We don't know. We don't think about it. What's the outcome? You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're probably not going to die, you know. So, the worst that can happen is we ask somebody for business, is if they say no. And so we're no worse off than before, you know. We weren't doing business with us before, we're not doing business with us now.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the way to think about it always is, it's always about them, but not about us.
Okay.
And that's a really good way to think of life. When you get rejected, it's not about you. It's about them and where they are in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask somebody for business and they say no, it's not because of you and your offering. It's about where they are and where what they've experienced in their life. So, I always told people when they, you know, if they got, well, for example, one time I actually got fired, okay? I was running the Midwest District, and a new boss came in, and he reorganized the district. And I had been there since the very beginning, and had been 9 years on the job, and we were ranked number one, and I was doing, I thought, a very good job, but I was 57 years old, and, you know, he wanted somebody younger. So I brought in a 40-year-old from California, and he moved the district to Chicago, and he said, you know, we'll find another position for you, but I just want this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And other people got mad, and they, you know, because this happened quite a bit around the firm because it's a bigger organization. And I had trained myself well enough to realize that this was not about me and the job I did, but this was about him and what he wanted. And it's kind of like when the Republicans come in and the Democrats go out, everybody, all the different departments get changed, you know, and they bring new people in.
Mm-hmm.
So when you prospect somebody and they make a change and they select you, you hope it's about our offering and it's about what we did. And when they make a change and they go somewhere else, it's about them. It's not about us. It's about the new offering and the way it was presented. So I always like to think of it that way rather than thinking about my failures. Because if we concentrate on our own failures, then we start feeling bad about ourselves, and then we don't want to put ourselves at risk. So Jim Larry Wilson, the book Playing to Win, is a fabulous book to read about how to handle that, how to handle rejection, the psychology of the business. And so is Jim Lair's the same. They both are. Jim is a psychologist himself. He's a doctor of psychology. But Playing to Win is this concept of The basic concept is when you play to win, you can never lose. The worst thing you're going to do is you're going to learn and you're going to grow. So when you teach kids, or you're anybody in your family, or you have a junior partner, Juan Carlos is teaching his baby boy someday. Mm-hmm. He says, you can never lose when you play. The worst that's going to happen is that you will learn and you will grow, and you will always get better. Now, when you play not to lose, meaning you never pick up the soccer ball, you're afraid to go in the game, and you're afraid somebody will beat you, the best thing that you're going to get out of it is you're not going to die.
No.
I mean, the game is, you must enter the game in order to win.
Yeah.
And so many people will not enter the game. They will literally not play because they're afraid to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just reframe it and say there is no losing. You only learn and grow. So theoretically, if I can see the losers, there is no losing. They just learn and grow and become better for the next year.
Yeah, you have to have a growth mentality in order to understand that.
In your own life, you've learned so much more from losing than winning. Winning is wonderful, but think about it, when you play a sport, you want to play against somebody that's better than you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And the reason is, mentally, you know that you're going to learn from them. And if you can beat them, then you're ready for the next level. Then you find somebody better than them. You beat them, and then you grow. So we learn from losing, not from winning. So we should go in almost hoping that we lose. Because we're going to lose. You know, it's interesting. When I, this is an interesting way to approach life. A lot of times, my job is to find great stories that make a point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I make a point, and then tell a story. Right? Well, when I travel or when I live my life, I'm always looking for something to go terribly wrong. Why? Because those are the good stories. You see, when you go and you take a trip and everything goes well and you get to the airport on time and the plane leaves on time and luggage arrives and you go to your destination, there's nothing interesting about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're late, or the plane is delayed, or the plane has a problem, or the luggage is lost, or, you know, something happens, it's the making of a great story, of an interesting story that people want to hear about. Okay? That you can learn from. You know, when you're late, you learn to be on time.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was delayed in London. Her flight on British Air was delayed for a whole day. And they put them up in a hotel, and she met all these passengers, and they had, my daughter was with her, and the room was terrible, and they sat in the bar, and they met the most interesting people from all over the world, and had the best time, had a great dinner, got to know everybody, made friends, continued to correspond with them today, and had a great story when she got back to the States, because something went wrong. So it's an interesting way of looking at things. Instead of looking at, oh no, you know, this is the plane's delayed or my luggage is lost, you think to yourself, oh, this may be an interesting story. I think I may learn something from this. And it may be a great story that I can tell someday. So when you're prospecting, you want to prospect people that are very interesting and ones that are very difficult to get. And then you try some creative approach and then wait for something interesting to happen. Okay? It may go really well, maybe not. It may not, but if it doesn't go well, it may make an interesting story. If it does go well, that'll be an interesting story because you try a creative approach to it. So think of your life as a series of great stories that you're going to tell. And then when everything is smooth, it isn't interesting. So when you're sitting there doing nothing, and you've got no story, so instead you pick up the phone and you call somebody that scares the hell out of you in terms of being a big person that you want to meet. You answer them. And you say, I'd like to meet you. I've heard so much about you. I'm going to be in Argentina, and I'd like to meet you. And you may just create a great story out of it, you know. Versus doing nothing, you know, and listening to other people that live interesting lives. You don't want to do that. You want to live the interesting life. Okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's just been very helpful for me. I've lived a very happy life because I'm always looking for the great stories. Other people, one guy got so upset because his bags were lost that he had a heart attack and eventually died from it. So what's the point, right? So the next time you meet with your old boss, what you want to do is have four stories for him of situations where you dealt with your fears and you turned it around and had a really interesting, a fun, and exciting outcome. Yeah, so if you're not challenging yourself, you're really not living. Okay, so here's a good thing to know and to think about. There's something called the hero's journey. The hero's journey is the way most stories are written. It's the idea that and this goes back in history, way back, as long as human beings have been telling stories, they've been telling the story of this hero. And the hero's journey is one that takes place like this. The hero, reluctant hero, male or female, lives in a village, is very happy, doesn't really want to venture out from the village, but something happens. Right? A monster, a dragon, a flood, something terrible is happening. And the village calls on that young person to go out and save the village. And they go out and they have a series of challenges that they have to overcome in order to reach their goal and slay the dragon. Well, in the end, the dragon typically is their ego. Okay? So once they've slain the dragon, or they've managed to realize that their ego is what has been holding them back, they are ready to go back to the village and be the person that they're capable of being. Okay, so think of all the great stories that you've ever read or heard about. In my book, I use the story of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a typical hero story, where the reluctant hero, Indy,
mm-hmm.
Is happy in his university teaching school, but what happens? His father is captured by the Germans because he has the book with the Holy Grail, with the book that tells about the Holy Grail and where to find it. And so Indy then goes on a series of adventures to save his father, and in the end, he discovers the Holy Grail, but it isn't the Grail that, his ego wanted to have the Grail, but he chose life over his ego, and the other guy chose the Grail and died. So Indy went home with his father and lived happily back at the university. So that's typically what we... So if you're going to write a great novel or a great story, always remember the hero's journey is one that's so popular that people don't even know they're watching it, but they love it. They want to see it over and over and over again. So your life should mimic the hero's journey. Happy to be home, happy to be with family, but go to work, go on great adventures, challenge yourself, and then come home with your ego intact.
Okay.
But there is no fun in just living.
Yeah.
You need to be challenged. You need to go out and in your life, think about it. Life is going to be a series of stories. And the great story is not told yet. That's the one where you really figure out how you're going to get the biggest client you've ever dreamt about getting. And you figure out a way, use all the connections you can, get an introduction, make friends with him, and then he becomes your biggest client.
Mm-hmm.
If he walks in, it's not much of a story, right?
Pardon? Can you repeat that?
I say if he just walks in and says, I'd like to open an account, it would not be much of a story.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're right. Yeah.
So the game is not to live on easy street. That's what everybody in the back of their mind, they want to be on easy street. They want to be rich. They want to be have everything, and they don't want to work. And that's perfectly good. That's not good. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to do that. We're here to go on a series of adventures and scare ourselves and grow and learn. And that's where the fun comes from. That's when you're the happiest. Anyways, people used to come to me and say, I'm bored, I'm tired, I don't want to do this any good more, I think I'm going to go into another business. And I say to them, let's take a minute and think about when you're the happiest in the business. And it would always be the same. You would always see they were happiest when they were starting in the business, and they had nothing, they had no accounts, they had no money, they were working, long hours, and they're opening lots of accounts, and they're frankly going on great adventures. And that's when life was excited. I said, so think about it, right? You have no money. You have no security. You have no accounts. You're working long hours, and that's when you were the happiest? I said, yeah, I guess that's true. I said, so why don't we just put our book over here and pretend we don't have it and start over? And they say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. And I said, good. Right. And why don't we get down to a limited number of players that will pay the bills, but now give you the time to go and have the great adventures again. Pretend you're starting over.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing that, by getting them, you know, give away 200 accounts and keep 100, it scared them to death, which is good. They felt very insecure. They couldn't just sit there. They had to go out and prospect. And so they were happy again. So it's a so counterintuitive to what we think we want. What we think we want is safety and you know, preservation of our lives. But what we really seek is adventure and challenge and fun and adversity and, you know, things that are hard. So let's play to win and to read that and I think you'll find Larry Wilson quite informative on how to manage fear. How to embrace change. And give yourself credit. You are great at embracing change. You've done this. And very few are willing to do this.
Yes.
So you're on a great adventure here. We want to make sure we continue that in our prospecting. Because one half of Supernova is getting organized and giving up our small phones and focusing on service. The other half is the great adventure of growing our business.
Yeah.
So that's half. It's half. It's a lot. Okay, so the homework for this week is to go out and create 4 great adventures.
Perfect.
Now, Juan Carlos,
yes.
your job is to be his sidekick. Okay?
He's glad to communicate you well.
Sidekick.
Your job is to be his sidekick. Okay?
What is a sidekick? Sorry.
Yeah, every great hero has a sidekick. Okay? Somebody that supports him in this great adventure. So the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? And everybody has a partner. And they encourage them, and they keep them on the path. And they save them, periodically. So they're never by themselves, right? They're always together. So in the great adventure that Indiana Jones had, he had his father with him, right? And that was his sidekick of the great adventures.
Okay.
So, you know, in the Yellow Brick Road, let's see. Dorothy had her dog, right? And she also had the Tin Man, the Lion. Somebody else. Anyway, they were all part of the Great Adventure.
Okay.
And the idea was that when they were on the Yellow Brick Path, they were on the adventure. They were awake. And when they were off the path, they were asleep. So think of everybody in life as either being on the path, meaning moving forward in their great adventure, or off the path, being asleep. So I always tell people, I tell my interns this. I say 90% of the people on Earth are asleep. 90% of the people are not on a great adventure. They're asleep. They're just living their lives. And 10% are on a great adventure. And every life has the opportunity to create a great adventure by doing something that they're afraid to do. That's how we define whether or not we're on the path. If we're actually challenging ourselves to do something that scares us.
Perfect.
So instead of avoiding those fears, you embrace them every day and look for them. And if you're not embracing the fear, you're really not on the path. Okay. So off to a great adventure.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
There's a few minutes. I'm kind of confused with the concept of the mastermind group.
Sure. Well, the mastermind group would be ideally a set of professionals.
Uh-huh.
It could be a number of different things, but let's take the simplest model. The simplest model would be a series of professionals in Argentina in one town that you would meet with that would all be advisors to your clients.
Okay.
So it would be the CPA, it would be an attorney, it might be a business broker, it might be an insurance agent, it might be a commercial realtor, it might be a residential realtor.
Okay.
But all those people are advisors to, or could be advisors to your clients. And by definition, they like you, they trust you, and they're willing to refer to you. Alright, so you may not have that yet, but this would be a great adventure, okay? To put that together to build something that would be world class of advisors that advise people that are at your stage, meaning they have the same minimum that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. And for example, when you mentioned a set of professionals that could be accountants, lawyers, of our clients or not, in a way, for example, I have one or two centers of influence that are accountants and lawyers from clients. And I see them more or less as the same in a way. How is it different?
Well, it would be instead of meeting individually with them and having dinner with them privately,
uh-huh.
you'd meet as a group.
Okay.
You'd have dinner together as a group of four or five of you. And your purpose would be to help each other. It wouldn't be just to help you, it would be to help each other. And you serve business to each other.
Okay.
And think of the word help as being the key word here. You're there to help each other.
Okay.
So when you think, what's my purpose? Your purpose is to find people and connect them to each other. Right? Whether in the group or outside of the group, but you're there to help them solve their problems. So, a mastermind group, if you're going to do it tomorrow, you would say to me, okay, Rob, what do I do at this meeting? I'd say, every meeting you bring one good idea for the group. You bring one of your problems. And then you focus the group on one person in the group each meeting. Each meeting would highlight one of the people. And they would tell their story and talk about their practice and their challenges, their opportunities, and talk about how they, what they need from the group.
Okay.
So this would take about a year to build a good mastermind group. But it could last you for 30 years.
And Rob, how did you came up with this idea?
Well, it's not a new idea. If you read in my book or you read in the workbook, it talks about that Thomas Edison was one of the first people to have a mastermind group. So it's been an old idea, but consistently a good idea. So Thomas Edison used to meet with a group, in a mastermind group down in Fort Myers, and it would be Mr. Burroughs, Firestone. It was Henry Ford, and they met regularly. They met quarterly down in Florida. And can you imagine those minds all coming together? It can kind of create the future of the country, right?
Mm.
And they did. They did. So you never know, you know, would they have been as successful as they were without each other? Probably not. So if you Google mastermind groups, you'll get the history of mastermind groups. And you'll find it very interesting. But the idea of the name mastermind is when two minds come together, they create a third mind. And that mind is able to solve things that each mind couldn't do by itself. But they call it a mastermind.
Now I get it. Perfect.
And these should be people you really genuinely like. It should not be people you're just getting together for business. It should be people that you can become good friends with. Because you're going to be friends. You're going to be with them for years.
Hmm.
Just like your friend you met with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's the idea. You sat and you talked, and you talked about things that were deep, important. You talked about your fears. And that's the kind of group you want. People that are that important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it isn't anybody. And if you started it with one person, that would be fine. And then you make it two. You make it three, and then you make it four. But you both agree on who should be the third person, and then the fourth person, and then the fifth person.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. People that do this rave about it. It's the most one of the most important things they ever do in our business.
A good idea.
Yes, it's a wonderful idea. Okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
That's good. All right. I think we have a holiday. We have a holiday next week, and then we meet after that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we have four of July.
Yeah. Four of July.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, guys.
Okay, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. Hey, Carlos. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.